You're listening to Pastor Bill Sirjak.
Lately in my private devotions, I've actually gone back to studying my utmost for his highest. After I retired, I'd done that several times, and I was trying to figure out what in the world I would want to do for my devotional reading. And so I decided, well, there's Calvin's Institutes, which is about 1,500 pages on my shelf. And so I thought, well, I'll just read a page or two every day along with some scripture reading. It's amazing how quickly those things, I read all 1,500 pages. And then it was like, what do I do next? I figured the Life and Times of Christ the Messiah was another good one to read as a devotional thing along with scripture. And lately I've gone back to my utmost for his highest and to read scripture, and particularly the Gospel of John. I've been reading through the Gospel of John for the second time. I read through it, and then I came back and read through it again. One of the things that struck me in the Gospel was that the Pharisees kept asking Jesus, are you the Messiah? Are you the one that has come? Or should we look for another? And Jesus kept putting them off. Probably more likely he said, just look at me. I came from the Father. Just keep your eyes on me and look at me. And I wondered, and having read it several times, just tell them, yes, I'm the Messiah. I finally realized a little bit of what was going on, and I realized that, well, he couldn't tell them that he was the Messiah, because they had defined what the Messiah was, and he wasn't that. They had defined the Messiah as someone who would give them power over the Romans in this world, and they would have political strength and political power. His kingdom wasn't of this world. What they had to do was just look at Jesus. And really, that's a problem that we always have. We tend to try to define God. We tend to try to figure out what God is like. Sandy and I were just kidding the other day. People keep saying, can God do anything? Well, God can't do anything. For one thing, he can't never not be God. He can't take a vacation. He's always God. He can't make a rock bigger than he can pick up, which is like an old saying. And also, he can't lie. Once he says it, it's true. There's not a standard above God that God has to fit into so he tells the truth. When he speaks, it's the truth. Even Moses in the Old Testament, when he was talking to God in the burning bush, Moses said, when I tell the people, who should I say I've been talking to? And God said, well, the Hebrew word is Yahweh. I am who I am. Really, that's the only way you can define God. He is who he is. He reveals himself to us. You can't come up with ways of being able to then make this God fit into him. You just have to look at God and see what he's like and be marveled by the revelation that he's given to us. And so he was telling the Pharisees over and over again to look at me, look at me. And he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I've struggled with that for some of the time that I first became a Christian when I was in college, particularly the one with the truth, with Jesus Christ being the way. I think the Pharisees would have difficulty with that too, because they thought that the way into the kingdom of God was to be a Jew. And so in a certain sense, if you were born a Jew, you were in God's kingdom. Now when Jesus says he's the way, it's then our relationship to Jesus Christ is what moves us into God's kingdom. I think probably today, in some ways it's harder. Because I guess when you were a Jew at that time and you gave birth to a child, you knew the child was a part of God's kingdom. Today, when you give birth to a child, you don't know if the child's going to be a part of God's kingdom or not. You don't know if that child is ever going to go into relationship to Jesus Christ and be part of the way. That's why one of the most important things that you do in the church, when they baptize a child, one of the things that we ask the church to do is promise to bring this child up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That you're beginning to teach that child about Jesus so that they can come to know him and can walk with him and can come into God's kingdom. That's an incredibly important thing that you do when you baptize a child. Jesus is the way. He's also the truth. You know, I studied mathematics and engineering in college. I was used to doing proofs, go through a proof in geometry or go through a proof in calculus or something like that to be able to show how something works. And so to me, proof was sort of an aesthetic thing. It was an abstract kind of a thing. And the idea of a person saying he was the truth, I had a hard time with that, figuring out when Jesus said, I am the truth. What does he mean? As I've grown older, I have begun to realize more and more that the truth isn't abstract. The truth is a person. One of the things that struck me was just this past week when I was talking with my chemo doctor, my white blood cells was real low, and then within a week it jumped up to be right into the normal range. I said to my doctor, what in the world happened? Did I eat the right thing? What in the world went on? And he said, well, there's not much you can do to increase your white blood cell count. He says, that's done by bone marrow. And my doctor's a Christian, and he really thinks about his faith. And he said, it's just absolutely amazing when you study bone marrow and see the great, incredible thing that God has built here to be able to renew white blood cells and red blood cells. He said, for me, it was absolutely amazing when he studied bone marrow in medical school, when he studied the ear and all the intricacies that is inside of our ear. And he said, it's just amazing the design that God has put in there. You know, you can look at our ear or our bone marrow as sort of like a machine, but it's a whole different picture, a much fuller picture, when you begin to see the person who is involved in the mechanistic, who is involved behind it, who is the designer. The more and more you want to begin to bring the reality of the person into everything that you do in your life. One of the things that bothers me in Chattanooga is we're right off a place called Gun Barrel Road, which sounds a little scary, and it is. It's got just about every restaurant chain in the world along it. One of the things that kind of bothers me when I drive down Gun Barrel is I have a hard time looking around and seeing God. I see what men have built and what people have built. But it's a struggle for me then to begin to see God. That's one of the nice things about going around the mountains. You sort of know who made it. There's not much of a thought beyond God on that. He can remind you of God. But more and more in our lives, even with the things we buy, with all of the way we live our lives, we need to bring the person of the truth into it. And Jesus said he is the life. You know, sometimes we say, well, I have my own life, and I'm going to live my own life the way I choose to live my life. It doesn't work that way if you're a Christian. I've had a few times in my life where I've had like two-way conversations with God. Some of them are kind of strange, I guess. And I thought about them afterwards. They kind of resonated with what the scriptures taught, so I figured maybe that really was God speaking to me. And one of the earliest ones was after I'd been up here several years at this church. I went back to the church I was in Hollywood, Florida. They had a reunion. I saw again the people that I had seen and known in that church. Got to touch base with them again. And I remember walking from the church parking lot to the sanctuary where we were doing the worship on Sunday morning. And I was talking to God and I was saying, oh God, this is hard. I didn't realize how much of my heart I'd left with these people. And the Lord said back to me, he said, but it feels good now that you're back together again, doesn't it? And I said, yeah, feels really good. And he said, well, don't worry. One day I'm going to put it all back together again. So all of our life that we share in Christ will be there eternally. And it will be together forever. I think even the reality of many people praying for me when I'm having cancer is sort of like it's bringing those people's lives back into my life. Whether God heals me of the cancer or if he takes me home, sometimes I'd like to go home. Which way he does it is fine with me, whatever he wants to do. But the wonderful thing that I've got out of this is that he has brought to mind and to heart the lives of people that I've shared with in the past. It's all centered in Jesus Christ and the opportunity of being able to know Him. I was here for 33 years. Sometimes people would wonder what I did while I was here. Tell you the truth, I hate to say this because you all paid me and everything, I don't know that I really did very much, because the main thing I think that I tried to do was to tell people about Jesus, to point them to Christ. And God then did the work. There was a time when the building was getting small. All I did with the building program was put a little chart in the hallway at the back of the church of what our Sunday morning attendance was. And then I drew a line as to when we would be full and just left it there. The people in the church thought, well, maybe we ought to do something about that. And they ended up building all the building that is added on to it. And I don't think I ever went to a building committee meeting. When you point people to God, it's rather unbelievable what God does. When we go to Life Challenge, and I visit with the girls once in a while, and we have evaluations, my friend Keith will always ask the girls what they've been reading, and have they been reading about Jesus. And he says, if you've got a red letter Bible, those are the words of Jesus. Read those words and point to them especially. And that's the thing that we're supposed to do. We point people to Jesus Christ. He is the one who makes the world different, who changes us. He is the way, He's the truth, He is the life. He is the reality of us being able to know God.